Thank you for downloading this Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire podcast. And as a special thank you for you, we've got a special deal just for you. Beer 52 shipped themed monthly boxes of small batch craft beer straight to your door. You can get £10 off a case of 8 delicious exclusive craft beers selected to your preferences and the award-winning Ferment magazine and a snack using our code PROPER at beer52.com. So you get 8 exclusive hand-selected beers this month. It's Norwegian craft beers. The 100-page Ferment magazine and a snack, free next-day delivery, and flexible monthly subscription. All that for £14 in your first month at beer52.com.
Radio Yorkshire, your home of rugby league. You know it makes sense.
Alex said to the KCOM Stadium, if you're watching online on Facebook or on the website right now at radioyorkshire.co.uk, you'll see a picture of the KCOM Stadium, and right at the back of that picture is where the media sit, which is where we will find our match commentator this afternoon, Craig Murdoch. Craig, a very good afternoon to you.
Yeah, we're just waving to that camera, Rich, so if you can see us. Scully and I sat here waving. But yeah, good afternoon, Rich. How are you?
I'm not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, beautiful day in Hull, first off. Don't say that very often.
Well, so, I was going to ask how the weather is. It's quite nice at Elland Road at the moment. So the weather has followed you, well, the short distance you made, and obviously the slightly longer one, Scullion's made. By the way, before we get into things, because I know you'll want to know this because you're asking me, Swindon have just scored. They've taken the lead with 4 minutes to go, 26-24.
Wow. Yeah, good with that. That would be a shock result, wouldn't it? Big result. You know, we saw that try yesterday, didn't we, as well? Wakefield just nipped at the end, didn't deserve to lose. And your mate Scoey, Mr. Fita, didn't play the ball properly today. And
how are you, Rich? Okay, yeah, good afternoon, Craig. But it's all in the memory bank. It's all in the memory bank. Hey, but I tell you what as well, if Huddersfield get beat, who's to say Rick Stone won't get the bullet?
Hey, don't get me started on yesterday, because I've seen people online have a go at some of the younger players in the Wakefield squad and not have a go at the experienced players, and that wound me up yesterday somewhat, because, you know, it's a team game. But to blame one young player for the defeat, I thought, was a bit harsh.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, Rich, yeah, obviously, you know, my son was meant as well. But to be honest with you, you know, I know in today's game, you know, they don't tackle around the legs anymore, but Jowick's a good enough fullback to realise, hey, listen, there is times when, you know, the upper body, you know, you've got to go there when they're certainly about 10 or 15 metres, but certainly when a back like Atkins makes a break. You know, yeah, rightly so. If he's getting criticised for that, he deserves that. Because literally, it was just straight round the bootlaces, and he stopped the winning opportunity 30 metres out.
Oh, well, there's always next week against the Cats.
I tell you what, though, Rich, just on that, doesn't it show, to get a positive from a negative, how far that Wakefield have come on?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're desperately disappointed with getting beat in the last minute by Warrington.
Yeah, but listen, hold on here. How poor are Warrington at this moment in time? Okay, yeah, we'll give credit, plenty of credit to Wakefield, to be honest with you, but how poor are Warrington? Yeah. What about the passing? What about the handling? And also, you know, with the play of the balls, how many times did they lose the ball in the play of the balls?
They've won 4 in a row, Gary.
Hey, do you know what, Rich? Craig Bernard, do you know what? I've got a confession here. I don't know if I really should say this, but I'm going to do. I didn't know the witness St. Helens game on Friday night, because you know why? 5 minutes into the second half, I fell asleep.
Well, I can't blame you.
How bad is that? It was so bad, I fell asleep, and I woke up about 10:15. And that's when I found out the result.
Well, I was listening to the Leeds Doncaster commentary, which was a foregone conclusion from when the draw was made, but it was a far more entertaining game, it sounded.
Well,
but there you go.
What do you reckon about that game? Did you watch it, Craig?
I did watch it, yeah. I had a little tipple on witness, so I was quite happily with the result, but it wasn't the greatest game. And
it was awful. Yeah, it was absolutely awful. And do you know what as well? And I'll say it from Matty Smith's point of view, and you know, he was Kieran's big signing in the say, but Matty Smith wants certainly been Norwegian sort of philosophy to St. Helens from a style of playing, just dropping the ball off and dropping the ball up and setting up a field position. Oh, boy, oh, boy. They are boring to watch, St. Helens, and they're going to get even more boring to watch if that's the way they're going to keep playing. I'm only being honest, Ridge.
No, it's fair.
I'm only being honest.
But you're right, Craig, and your point about Wakefield. Seventh in the table, 5 wins from 11, and obviously having lost the last 3 over the Easter weekend, but I make it that Wakefield have competed in all but the Leeds game. Some could say the Castleford game, but you know, Wakefield are a great side, aren't they?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Wakefield this year, and you could make a case for Wakefield being 9 from 11, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, you really could, but you know, if buts and maybes, you know, don't get your points on the board, and that's the disappointing thing from a Wakefield point of view, is that, you know, they should have won at least three or four of those games that they've lost, but they haven't. But they're still roundabout, you know, still in the eight, but they need to start churning some of those nearly wins into victories and moving up the table.
Well, just out Wigan smash Catalans this afternoon and see what happens from there. But
Rich, that score, what, Swinton, has it changed yet? Is it still Swinton?
No, it's still 26-24 to Swinton with a couple of minutes left. 28-24, they've converted the try.
Wow, this could be a draw then. This could be a draw.
It could be a draw. It could be anything still. Salford have beaten Toronto 29-22 in the game at the AJ Bell Stadium.
I'll tell you what as well then, Rich. When you look at this Huddersfield scenario, and I've said it since he's joined Huddersfield, he doesn't know his players. He doesn't know the style of play he wants to play. He doesn't know the positions what his players have got, the positions what he could play in. He's let Ryan Briley go for because he thinks he's a luxury and he doesn't like his style of play. What's he thinking about? What is he thinking about, Rick Stone?
What did you make of Briley's statements, Scully?
I didn't see it, Rich, I haven't seen it.
I will find it for him because I've got it.
And I haven't seen it.
We'll let him read that and we'll talk about maybe Hulk Kiar, because that was a great victory yesterday, Rich.
Great win for Hulk Kiar Rovers.
I know Lee are in a poor run of form at the moment, but I think we expected perhaps. This was, we talked about it on Monday, didn't we? This was a good opportunity for Hull KR to show where they are against tougher opposition perhaps they're facing most weeks in the Championship.
Well, the team, what they named, Derek, they were putting a market out, weren't they? You know, they brought all the big boys back from last week, and and okay, Lee, as I mentioned before now, over the last couple of weeks, them tyres are not punctured, them wheels, they have fallen off, but take nothing away from Hull KR, still going there. Good victory, so it put a marker down for themselves, and they'll say this, but they'll be used contenders if they're in that £1 million game.
And obviously, Craig, you're based in the fine city of Hull. It's nice for Rovers. I guess it's strange, isn't it? Obviously, that awful, crushing defeat in the £1 million game, but it seems that off the field and on it, of course, so far this season, it might be a good thing for Hull KR. They've been able to regroup and readdress things.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's obviously a negative because you want to be in the Super League competition, but as a fan, you want to watch your team win, don't you, Rich? That's, you know, that, at the end of the day, you go to rugby to watch your team win. Now, yes, it's at a lower level, but Rovers have been winning. And what it's allowed them to do is it's allowed them to blood some of the youngsters at a lesser level. Now, I think Scoey and I have said many, many times that there needs to be a reserve grade. You know, we'll put that story to bed many, many months ago. You know, but the gap is massive, and Rovers are now being able to blood these youngsters who are going to be good players in the future, and they're being blooded in the Championship, so they'll be better for it. Are they going to get back into Super League this year? Well, they've laid a marker down yesterday that says, you know, that they're going to go into it confident. You know, they're going to be able to manage the squad a lot better than the bottom four Super League sides are, because they're going to have to put out their best side every week to get as many wins as they can, because even if you're in that bottom four, you know, you want those four home games. So, you know, obviously 9th and 10th is a lot better than 11th and 12th, where Rovers are able to still lose a couple more, even if they wanted to. I'm not so sure they will, but if they, you know, manage their squad, if they've got any sort of niggles with any of the senior players, they'll just rest them and make sure that come those middle eights, those players are fit and raring to go. And we saw yesterday, when they're fit and raring to go, they're a match for those bottom four sides.
And they do appear to be a club who were able to survive relegation. Some, you think, if they go down, there might be a lot of changes have to be made, but Hull KR are a well-run club and proving that this season.
Yeah, and obviously getting gates of 8,000 through is a big help, isn't it? There's Super League clubs that would, you know, be very, very happy with 8,000 fans, you know, on every home game. So, you know, and obviously they've got two men who are very passionate, who own the club, who are Rovers through and through. And fortunately for them, they've got a bit of money in the bank as well. So, you know, they're not short of a bob or two. But, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Rovers want to be back in Super League ASAP. You know, and we forget that, you know, they've got the most experienced coach probably going round at the moment in charge of them. You know, Tim Sheens has been there, done it both sides of the world, hasn't he? So his CV, you know, is perfect. And, you know, good, I want Rovers back in Super League because it's good for this city. And in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, Rovers are certainly missed in the
I think for the game as well, you know, they need him back in Super League, don't they? Not just you know, hopefully what they can bring on the field, but it's off the field as well. Certainly for away support, isn't it? You know, the crowd, you know, the same here with the black and whites, the crowd, they will always travel, bring plenty of numbers and plenty of revenue for the opposition where they travel to. So, yeah, Super League does need Hulkies and Rovers.
I'm just waiting for the confirmation, the final score from Huddersfield, so I'll let you know that as soon as we've got it. I've been going through a lot of old Challenge Cup final programmes this week. Some very interesting pictures of you in there, Scully, it has to be said. One way you're dressed up in some kind of like a... You're dressed up like Aladdin. I don't know why. I don't know if I should ask you why, to be honest. But what were your two's favourite memories of this competition?
The Challenge Cup?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't win it, Rich, did I?
There must have been some good points along the way.
Not really, to be honest with you, because I got dropped for the great final in 85. I got dropped for that final. We didn't win that. We got beat by 4 points because myself and Lee Crooks could not kick a goal between us. And then, obviously, got beat by Lee twice. So, if I'm... obviously, getting to Wembley, it's a great occasion for everybody. And, you know, it's a highlight of career when, you know, when you're walking out there in the atmosphere. And I think when we played... in 85, that's the biggest crowd that's been at Wembley, 98,000 in the old Wembley in them days, where, you know, rugby league fans could stand up. But as far as memories go, Rich, not the very best, to be honest with you, because as I say, I got to Wembley 3 times and didn't win one.
I thought you'd mention your interception try against Featherstone, but
well as I say, two of the games what stand out for me, we went to the replay when we played in 85, we drew at the Boulevard 6-6. I scored the try in that game as well. And then we went to the old Norton Park and in the replay the Wednesday night in them days with the replays. And I say we won 19-12. I scored a try and kicked 3 goals and won them the game. And then just down the track that year, I got dropped for the final. But yeah, obviously the semi final against Featherstone. With that interception try, yeah, a great memory. And the Featherstone fans keep reminding me, because they keep saying we don't like this going from 1995. But as I keep reminding the Featherstone fans, Ritz, I was only doing my job if one of your players wanted to pass me the ball. And I think it was Mark Aston, who was 75 yards away, and I said, thank you very much, I'll put a 4 points on the board. But yeah, the Challenge Cup for mine. And I say Peter Smith from the All Supporters Show, it has been confirmed. Yes. Swinton have beaten Huddersfield, so what a great win. And that's what the Challenge Cup's all about, isn't it? But if you don't take it serious, then I say these lesser sides will do. Great victory for Swinton, well done. Rick Stone, boy oh boy, is this a huge setback for the Giants.
That kind of result shouldn't happen, though, should it?
No, it shouldn't.
In the era of full-time professionals.
No, it shouldn't. But, and I say, if you don't take the opposition seriously. But as we say in that championship, we've said it all along, all season, me and Craig Murdoch, when we have been commentating on the championship, if you don't bring your A game against them, you'll get turned over. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and there are a lot of similarities, because that happened to OKR last year, didn't it? You know, they were in
Oldham,
down on confidence. Oldham come and beat them, and then the season obviously just deteriorated from there. And, you know, Huddersfield... You know, that's a bad result. And I'm with you, Rich, that, you know, that shouldn't happen. But, you know, again, you know, there's a lot of players in the Championship, and Scully and I say this on a regular basis. It's not that they're not good players and they're not Super League players, but it's financially not viable for them to play in Super League, because there'd be Super League players on and around that 25, 30 grand mark. Now, if they've got a decent job picking up that and then picking up another 15 on... by playing rugby, why are they going to give that up to, you know, if you've got a family and a couple of kids?
And as well, Craig,
you say to your missus, I'm going to go and play Super League for 15 grand a year less. She says, yeah, of course you are.
But as well, these players are playing week in and week out with the Championship in Super League. They wouldn't even be getting a start, would they?
No.
Because there's no reserve grade, as we say, so they wouldn't even play rugby league week in and week out.
And the other thing about that is, that, and the same for Hull KR State to a lesser extent, they both go away from home and beaten Super League opposition as well to make it even doubly... an impressive performance. I don't know. We're going to have to talk about this a lot later, aren't we, the Huddersfield result. Craig, your favourite memories of the Challenge Cup?
I'm with Scully. I ain't got that many, because I probably played about 4 games out of my 150 in the Challenge Cup, because when I was at Wigan, Sean Edwards was that was his thing, the Challenge Cup, and he made sure that he was fit every one of those. So I think I played 2 for Wigan in 6 years, and then when I came to Hull, we weren't very good. We got knocked out every year at the first round. So I think I played about 5 or 6 games. But yeah, you know, it's just, you know, my memories of the Challenge Cup is that 85 final. For me, it's still that, not only the greatest final, the greatest game I've ever seen, you know, and years on. You know, and I watch rugby now on a regular basis, and obviously 2, 3, 4 games a week, and you know, there isn't a game that comes anywhere near that game that we saw that day. You know, so much talent on show. You know, 2 of the best players that I ever saw playing, Sterling and Kenny, up and Schofield.
That's funny.
And Schofield, yeah. But, you know, the Kenny and that final between those two great players that had been on the same side for so long at Parramatta, you know, it's just amazing to watch. And still, I have it on my Sky Planner. Other ones are available, of course, but you know, and time to time just sit and watch that game because it was an amazing game of rugby league.
But as I say as well, with this Swindon Huddersfield scenario as well, and I hope Huddersfield don't come out with the rubbish. Well, okay, we're out of the Challenge Cup now. We can just concentrate on Super League week in and week out. I hope they don't come out with that, because that would be just total disrespectful, first of all, to the Challenge Cup, and secondly, to a great performance by Swindon.
Yeah, indeed. And of course, Greg, you had the opportunity last year to commentate on Hull's history-making victory.
Yeah, that was great. So I've done it. I've been lucky enough to do 3 or 4 Challenge Cup finals, Rich, in the media sense, and you know, I was there in Cardiff in 2005, which was special as well. That really was, because you know, Wembley's an amazing place. You know, the new Wembley, I don't know what Scully's thoughts are, will never be the old Wembley. You know, the old Wembley, we just had something about it that was just an amazing place. The new place is fantastic. It's all singing, all dancing, but it's not got that feeling for me of the old Wembley. But Cardiff as a venue is the best venue I've ever been to. It's, you know, it's right in the city centre. You fall out the ground and you're in a pub, and it was just a great experience, that 2005, you know, Challenge Cup final for the Black and Whites. And yeah, last year was special, obviously, the first time Hull have won it. You know, it was great. It really was a great experience. And, you know, still that tackle by Danny Houghton, that will be one of those. You know, we talk about Challenge Cup final highlights. We talk about Stirling and Kenny and Schofield in 85. And that tackle from Danny Houghton will be seen for years and years and years and years to come, of how he won Hull FC that cup that day.
Well, very rare that I'm able to put myself on a level with you two, but I have no Challenge Cup final winners' medals on it. So at least we're all on a level there.
We're all in the same bracket, Rich.
If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Let me take you through the full-time scores this afternoon. In Super League, our full-match commentary has just finished. Hull FC 26, Castleford 24. What a match that was. Elsewhere, Wigan 42, Catalans 22. That was 16-all at half-time, so a great second-half performance from Wigan there. Elsewhere in the Challenge Cup at lunchtime, it finished Salford 29, Toronto 22. It was Huddersfield 24, Swinton 28. I'm sure we'll talk more about that shortly. After extra time, Dewsbury 23, Batley 22, Fenison 30, Oldham 4, Whitehaven 12, Halifax 36, and York 28, Barrow 50. Now, I think when I put this fader up, Craig Murdoch's going to be there.
No, he's not, mate.
Oh, you're back, still?
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I mean.
Oh, is Matt Horton with you there?
Yeah, Matt Horton, Sean.
Hello, Rich, how are you?
I just got the message, I got confused. I thought you'd taken him off to do something.
No. I wouldn't do that to you.
Your perspective on that one then, Matt?
I think he got the sending off just about right for me, to be fair. But Castleford just looked clueless on attack. They were just trying to go left to right. They were letting the ball do too much work instead of letting the forwards do in the hard yards and utilising the little offloads from Moores and from Senior Lefau that we see all season. So they just weren't the races cast today on attack for me.
At least you've got a happy home as well, Matt.
Yes.
Which is most important.
And a happy car. I love a happy car, Rich. You know that.
Scully, obviously, as you mentioned in commentary, a great defensive performance from Hull. But Albert Kelly, you know, he's got to stop for being as good as he is, because you'll keep harping back to last year and you keep being proven right.
Absolutely. I'll get it. I'll get the confession out of Phil Kaplan one of these days, Rich Warner, that. And say Vulcan Sudovas wouldn't have sacked him for the last three games last year, then we will be still seeing them in Super League. But anyway, we're not. But he's just proved today what a quality player he is, and say not just as a maverick, but also too as a team member. Absolutely outstanding. And I say Matt Houghton just said there, and I said it in commentary at times, Hull FC were a lot smarter than what Castleford were. And at times, yeah, they just needed the forwards to go hard and straight and direct, set up that field position there, suck that defence in from the Black and Whites. And I say maybe, just maybe, they might have got the 2 points. But let's say nothing away from this 12-man Black and Whites for the last half hour. The commitment that they showed, the desire, and I've just had Peter Smith say to me, how when you looked at Hull's defence this afternoon, how have they conceded 54 points to Salford and 52 to the Rhinos, which I guess is a bit of a head scratcher, but hey, listen, that's long gone now, and this will be one of the performances what Lee Radford will put down in his career at this moment in time, with the black and whites, one of the most satisfying.
The red card, you were saying at half-time you spoke to Lee Crooks and he thought it was a red card. What did you make of it, Matt?
Well, sorry.
I said on the call I was doing that I thought he'd be very lucky to stay on, given what's happened this season and the fact that we know there's been so many incidents that should have been red carded and haven't. And it looked round the head. I said on call he'd be lucky to get put on report and be stuck in the bin for 10 minutes. But obviously the touch judge has come on with the report and said it must have been direct contact. And I didn't have a lot of arguments with the red card, to be honest. And at that point, I feared for Hull, especially when Shenton got in right on the bell at half time. I thought that it could have got really messy in the second half. But you know what? Castleford have been their own worst enemies this afternoon. They've lost the ball on or over the line at least four times in that second half. No goal kicker. I mean, I don't know if Luke Gale failed a head test and didn't get back out there. We don't know about that, unless they've just not put him back out there as a precaution. But no, full credit to Hull FC. The way they've defended, the way they've chased the 13 men of Castleford across that field. But Castleford, for me, their own worst enemies. Instead of doing the hard stuff and the tough stuff, they've tried to do too much of the fancy stuff, and it's not worked for him today.
Yeah, but also too, we look good, not good. Surely, if he could have been okay to go back on there, then he would have been on, because, and I say, Matt Shane played at acting half, and at times he was just, well, Matt used the word, he was clueless, you know, and it's far too slow, and at times they're going for the champion play, which let him down. But what you got to do here, just quite simply, for the last hour, defensive-wise from the black and whites, you've got to give them full credit.
Did Liam Watts sending off win the game for Hull then in the end? Because obviously it took out Luke Gale from the match.
No, Marks needs penalty, won the game.
Well, yeah, exactly. So with the goal kicks from there. But yeah, and I say that with the sending off, say Lee Crooks spoke to Clarkey and he just said, yeah, he came in there with a stiff arm and he had to go. So yeah, as Matt said, and I think we said it in comments as well, over the last two or three weeks, we know where the high shots, and it was quite simple, he had to go. But hey, listen, the black and whites for the last hour, to say, from a point of view, yeah, you know, the try what Talbot Kelly set up with a kick, great take by Michaels, an offload to Tuma Vavi, and Marks needs goal kicking in the end has won it. But this would be one performance where Darryl Powell would be saying, hey, listen, you know, this is one that's got away. Now the question will be asked, when the pressure is on Cass, can they handle the pressure and do the ball on the big occasions, even though we're nowhere near semi-final football yet? But yeah, questions will be asked, Rich.
Well, that is what people are going to ask, and especially going into that game on Saturday against Wigan, who have done very well, 16-0 at half-time, but smashed Catalans in the second half.
Yeah, big game, as we know what Casper did to Wigan, 3 weeks ago, won't we? So Sean Wayne will be looking, certainly looking for revenge, won't he? And now it's a bit of a situation now for Darryl Powell to ask his players, you know, can you handle the pressure? Because as we all know, the way that Casford have been going this year, the style of play has been absolutely outstanding. Everybody's favourite second side. But when the pressure's on, even maybe the Casford supporters are asking the question, can we handle it? And, you know, do we bottle the bigger games? And I say we're not into semi-final football yet, but boy, oh boy, is that a big game. And it will be absolutely rocking next week down at the Jungle, won't it?
It will do indeed. Matt, you're going?
Yeah, I need to get away.
Oh, well, fair enough. We'll catch you again soon. Have you got anything else you want to add about the weekend? Yeah,
Wakefield were really unlucky yesterday, Rich.
I was listening.
I could hear your heart breaking from 70-odd miles away as Tom Lyon went over.
What do you reckon then to the play of the ball? It cost them a game in the end.
Oh, I haven't seen it back, Scully, so I'm not in a position to say anything at the moment.
You're not prepared to commit?
No, not prepared to commit, I'm afraid.
Well, yes. You enjoy the trip home, Matt.
I will do.
At least you'll have a good one.
We'll be tuning in, Rich.
Oh, well, good stuff. Matt Horton, who's going home now, which is good for him. We mentioned, obviously, that win for Wigan this afternoon. But the top four of the table now, Wigan and Hull third and fourth, both on 15 points. And now everyone has played 11 games. Leeds Rhinos level on points with Castleford with 16 at the top of the table.
Well, the Cass fans will tell you they're top of the league because it's points different. The Rich warning, and they won't be, you know, joint top. But yeah, Castleford is sitting there. But well, it's hotting up nicely, isn't it? You know, to say who would have thought Leeds would have been up there after what happened to them, 7 weeks ago down at the Jungle when they got to, smashed 66-10 from there. But this is just unpredictable at this moment in time, the way Super League's going. Anybody on the day could beat anybody, and that's the way that it's turning out. And I'd say Warrington now, they're just looking to get themselves out of the bottom four. What's that, four on the trot now for them? So anybody can beat anybody.
Yeah, we mentioned away for them Warrington earlier, so we don't need to go over that again. And you obviously fell asleep watching Widnes and St Helens.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was very, very poor. Very, very, very poor indeed. And, I don't want to say any more about it because it was an absolute rubbish game of rugby league, to be honest with you.
Well, looking at next week's fixtures then, Thursday night, Leeds, who, of course, did play on Friday against Doncaster and won as you would expect them to do, although let's give plenty of credit to Doncaster, who certainly put up a fight in that one on the scoreline. They take on Huddersfield, and you talk about contrasting fortunes. Leeds have bounced back from last year in a second. Huddersfield are 1 point off bottom of the table, and bottom of the table is Widnes, who you obviously fell asleep watching on Friday. Leeds will be looking at this game on Thursday thinking, obviously they can't be complacent, but this is another 2 points, and they could, by the end of Thursday night, be top of the table.
Absolutely, and I say, that's what's got to be the motivation from there, and Leeds. And I say, after that Casper performance, and I say 7 weeks ago, it's not the coaching staff from there, it's the players who have addressed this situation. They've stopped sulking and decided, yeah, we're a good side. We're a good team as individuals and we're a good team collectively. And it's that consistency what Leeds have got at this moment in time. So, and I say, Huddersfield with that absolute disastrous result against Swindon in the Challenge Cup. And I'd say, I don't know if there's been any news yet regarding Rick Stone. Will Huddersfield still have a coach on the Thursday night? Because I'm sure Ken Davey, because, you know, Ken Davey himself, he wants Huddersfield to be around about. Certainly in the top six in a good Challenge Cup runner, he'll be absolutely devastated by going out of the Challenge Cup at the first round for the big boys today. So whether Huddersfield have got a coach, but hey, listen, one thing for sure here, Leeds won't be too bothered about that. They've got that consistency now, they're playing decent rugby league, yeah, and they'll be looking certainly to put a big score against Huddersfield, and then maybe after next weekend results be the top of Super League. But who would have thought that 8 weeks ago after the result of the jungle? But hey, listen, that's what Super League's all about this year.
And what do we make of Huddersfield? I know we had a brief chat about them pre-match, but
Rich,
they shouldn't lose at home.
No.
All credit to Swindon. We haven't seen the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And well done to Swindon, getting the job done. They went behind. I think Huddersfield took the lead with about 5 minutes to go, well, 10 minutes to go or something. So they had to come back and lead late in that one, and that's exactly what they did. So plenty of credit for Swindon, the hard work they put in, and the fact that they kept on going until the full-time hooter. But that's, you know, a disgraceful result for Huddersfield, isn't it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. And I say, but, you know, the Championship, what we covered this year, and myself and Craig Murdoch have said it a few times, if you don't bring your A game against these Championship sides, it doesn't matter who they're playing against, then you're going to get turned over. But, yeah, it's an absolute disgraceful performance from Huddersfield today. And, yeah, OK, it's to say, well, you know, if they don't turn up, but surely the enthusiasm and the attitude and what the Challenge Cup brings, them Huddersfield players are going to take a long, hard look at themselves. But one thing for sure here with Rick Stone, and I've said it since he's come over, and I've said it after the second week, and all the rubbish what he comes out with regarding, you know, about his players, and they're not my players. But Rick Stone, he doesn't even know his players. He doesn't know what sort of philosophy he wants to play. He doesn't know his players collectively as a team, what the best positions are. And he's just making big excuses, and even now he's still making it. He's had a full pre-season, he's been over here nearly now, you know, 12 months in that position, and quite simply not good enough. And I will be very surprised after this weekend. I know it's on Sunday tea time, if he's had a job come Thursday night, to be honest with you, because he's just making excuse after excuse after excuse. And as I said, they've let one of the players who they signed for quite a decent transfer fee, what, 18 months ago, in Ryan Brealey. You know, by all accounts, he didn't like him. He thought it was a bit of a luxury. Hey, listen, mate, you're a bit of a luxury as well. So at the end of the day, if you're not enjoying the rugby league over here, get yourself back to Australia and get yourself coaching reserve grade like you was doing.
How was he, you know, in terms of Ryan Brayley, how has he gone from obviously a star player at Lee, obviously left there for whatever reason at the start of last season?
Yeah, I'll tell you the situation, Rich. It's quite simple. That coach is just totally belittled Ryan Brayley as a rugby league player, totally took his confidence away from him, totally took his enthusiasm, took his commitment out there, and it's quite simple. He just didn't want him there, so, you know, they've got to shut him after there, and, you know, and the recruitment from there has got to be questioned. Richard Fewlis has certainly got to take a long, hard look at himself again. And I tell you, this is not an attack on Huddersfield Rugby League Club, because I can reassure you, the giant, because the time I have got for Ken Davey as a person, and the amount of hard work what he's done for Huddersfield Giants, is totally 100%. 100% respect for that great man of what he has done for the Giants. And it's quite simple here. The coach is not good enough. Richard Fewlis has been absolutely abysmal with the crewmen, what they have brought to the Giants. And a lot of questions have to be asked. Also, as well, a coach can only do so much, but then players and all have got to take a long, hard look at themselves, because quite simply, you're not good enough at this moment in time to be Super League players for the Giants.
It is strange times, isn't it? Now we've got Brightley, who's obviously a very exciting talent, in League One this season, which seems a bit of a waste as well.
I agree. Absolutely, but we know they're not going to be in League One for long either. But I agree totally. But if no one else wanted him, and Paul Rowley, realistically, he's like his second dad to Brightley. He loves him to death, and he seems to get the best out of him. I think Ryan Brayley put out something that he likes to be loved, he likes to be cuddled, and the man management side of it to make him feel good. And I'm sure now what Brayley's got, he's got a smile back on his face, Rich. It's as simple as that. Rowley will look after him. He'll put him in cotter wool and move for him. And quite simply, that's the way what you do at times where you have to get the best out of players. Well, that's what you got to do. But quite simply, Rick Stone, he maybe the hard-faced Australian where they don't want to see attacking rugby league players score from 40, 50, 60, 70 metre tries like Ryan Brayley did. Unfortunately, he's no longer a Giants player, so that's Toronto's gain, to be honest with you.
I mean, you look at the scoreline tonight for Toronto, narrowly beaten by Salford 29-22, but I guess for Salford it's just a matter of beating what could have been a very tricky opponent on the day, especially when they had a man sent off in Justin Carney in the first half. But also for Toronto, it shows they can compete with Super League opposition, which I guess we probably knew they could do with a team of Salford's calibre.
Yeah, without a doubt. And with Toronto, we know the quality of players, what they've got. And they'll compete. But yeah, Salford, for them, it's just job done. And losing Justin Carney pretty early with 12 on there. So Salford quite slipped. The job done with it. We're in the hat for the next round, and we'll move on from there. But Rowley's doing a good job with Toronto, making sure that every player is looking to play week in and week out, get form on the board, and they'll take it from there. But Salford, for them, quite simple. Job done within the next round.
Now also through Featherstone, they beat Oldham 30-4, which sounds like another just a job done kind of scoreline. You'd expect them to have won by that much. Halifax won at Whitehaven 36-12. Barrow scored 50 at York, winning 50-28. That was close at halftime as well, 20-18. And obviously, very exciting. Dewsbury 23, Batley 22 in extra time.
Yeah, they've done the double, haven't they? I think Dewsbury, but Batley, was it the second game what Neil Kelly was in charge there? So they've done the double over the heavy woolen rivals over the last few weeks. So, yeah, delighted. I wonder if Jonathan was listening to get the laptop out to get that field goal in the end to win 23-22. But, yeah, delighted for them. They're in the next hat. Hopefully, they get one of the big teams and plenty of money down at Dewsbury.
Yeah, it should be an interesting draw on Tuesday. Of course, we've got the England squad announced tomorrow, which we'll react to live on Radio Yorkshire between 6 and 8. But just looking ahead to the rest of next week's fixtures in Super League, we've mentioned Leeds and Huddersfield. Hull take on Warrington on Friday night, having seen Warrington a bit on the telly yesterday, Hull, if they play like they did today, as opposed to like they did against Salford and Leeds, that should be a good chance to get another 2 points on the board.
Absolutely. And I say again, for Radders now, it's that word that I keep using it week in and week out, don't I? You know exactly what I'm going to say, consistency, don't you, Rich? And that's Radders would have seen there. And again, he will be scratching his head, as everybody will be doing here, 54 and 52 against Salford and Leeds. But anyway, that's gone now. So Hull now, they have put a marker down for themselves, certainly for the coach Radford, for that consistency point of view. And the way that Warrington are playing at the moment, they're pretty dire out there, to be honest with you. They seem to be lacking a bit of confidence from somewhere, so you'd certainly back the black and whites to turn Warrington over quite easily next week.
Then we've got St Helens, rather, who take on the Lee Centurions. So, having seen Lee in the last few weeks, and obviously losing to Hull KR yesterday, mind you, Saints, I don't know what to make of that one, because Saints were awful, weren't they, Friday night?
They're boring. St. Helens are boring. And you know what as well? And I've said it three or four times now, and I'm going to repeat myself, and I'm sick of repeating myself at times, to be honest with you. But again, them St. Helens players, you know what they keep saying, Rich? And what I keep hearing is, St. Helens, with the tradition what we are, with a big club, we should be in the top four. Well, why aren't you in the top four? I'll tell you why you're not in the top four. Because quite simply, you're not playing good enough. you're not playing good as individuals, as a team collectively, but boy, oh boy, the way the boring rugby league, what they are playing. And as I say, Matty Smith, he's come there as, he came there as a big signing for Kieran Cunningham, but we all know what's happened to Kieran over the last couple of weeks. He's got the bullet from there. And if Matty Smith wants to bring the philosophy of the way that Wigan played from a team structure, well, it's not going to work. And Saints, then players again, stop talking the talk and start walking the walk, because at this moment in time, you don't deserve to be anywhere near the top four. OK, they're playing a league side where, as I mentioned, the wheels, well, certainly, yeah, they're not punctured. They have absolutely fallen off. So, yeah, Lee beat them at the Sports Village a few weeks ago. So Saints have been looking for revenge, but it's about time now Lee woke up to themselves and started realising that at this moment in time, they're in big trouble.
Salford, obviously having beaten Toronto today, they take on Widnes, and I don't know what we can read into Widnes beating St Helens at all, to be honest, because, as you say, it was a dreadful game. I'm not sure we learned anything about the Vikings.
Well, I guess it's a win, wasn't it? You know, and I say they're pretty happy that they've got they were playing against a pretty ordinary and boring St Helens side. So, yeah, Dennis will take the 2 points. A bit of confidence. He's got a few players back. So, yeah, they'll go to Salford with plenty of confidence from there. But you'd think that the way Salford are, OK, may have just got the result against Toronto, but Ian Watson, you know, they've had a good start to Super League. They'll want to keep that confidence and momentum going. So I'll take Salford to beat Widnes next week.
And the final game next weekend, which is where we will be on Sunday, Wakefield versus Catalans. And Wakefield, you know, 3 straight defeats now against the Catalans side, who, having won 3 in a row, lost today obviously heavily at Wigan. A big game for both those sides.
Big game. And I say it's not been the best of Easters for whatever, what's that feeling, the bounce now where they've lost. And yeah, they should have beaten Warrington yesterday if it wasn't for that play the ball, as we know. OK, yeah, Max Jowett should have done far better on the defence with Atkins as well. But Catalans at this moment in time, they're still struggling away from home. So you would fancy Wakefield to beat the Catalans next week and get themselves back into the winning confidence streak what they've had over the last 4 or 5 weeks.
People have questioned perhaps that the halfback combinations at Wakefield. Who would you go with going into that game?
Oh, it's, the best halfback partnership at Wakefield is quite simple. It's Liam Finn and Jacob Miller. It is. I don't know why they change it.
There you go, people at home. Before we head to find out, before we go home. Something you mentioned in play, and yourself and Craig were talking about the referee and just about everyone talking to him and giving him bits of chip. And you've mentioned plenty of times on air how you were at Sinbin for various indiscretions throughout your career. But why aren't they showing the yellow card more for this end? Obviously, it seems that Justin Carney's been sent off for something he said today for Salford. But I thought only the captain's supposed to speak to the referee. How come every Tom, Dick and Harry is having the same?
Exactly, Richard. And I say that they've got to sort it out, because, as I say, everybody's having a pop. And as I say, an instance here, you know, when Hull did turn the ball over and the Marks needs giving the rounds to the touches from there. Yeah, it's a simple fact. You cannot verbally abuse the officials, and whether it's the touches or the referees, and it's quite simple. Yeah, put them in the sim, and it soon stops it. Prevention stops it all happening. So if they do it, just simbing them. And if we end up with 7 players from each side on the field, well, so be it. It'll soon put a stop to it. You know, so yeah. And Craig pointed out it was, and they were all having a chirp at them. At the end of the day, there's only the captain should be allowed to speak to the official. And if anybody else is chirping and giving him plenty of verbals, quite simple. Stick them in the simbin.
Let's simbin everyone. Right, what's in the paper tomorrow?
Well, the column, it's all about my England side that'll go down to Samoa. And we'll be for sure here. And the Wakefield fans will be pretty happy, because I've got Tom Johnson on the wing for me, to be honest with you. So I've selected my England 17 to play Samoa. So I guess it'll be plenty of debate. And people saying, well, we're glad you're not the England coach, Scobie, because if you were picking this side, we wouldn't have no chance in the World Cup. But we will see, Richard. You're all right. Looking forward to tomorrow night's show.
And so am I. Gary, thank you very much, and enjoy your journey home, and we shall catch up with you again tomorrow.
Pleasure, Richard. And I tell you what, won't be for sure here, we have seen an absolute belter of a game of rugby league. Dallow Parr might not agree, but I tell you what, Lee Radford, he will certainly agree.
Want your say on all things rugby league? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.